So, Lord, you are the one to speak to our hearts. In Mark's gospel, Lord, you spoke about the confidence to rely on you. Faith, in this year of faith, is a time to follow the Lord, knowing that he will not abandon us. Faith is my personal response to the love of God and the pattern of life I choose to live. This is Mark's gospel. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went into the hills to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And he saw that they were distressed and rowing, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him, and they were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." And Jesus got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in the day, I was outside while you were at lunch, and I was watching the birds fly by, you know. And there was a really, really strong wind, and the ones that were flying into the wind, it was kind of interesting to watch. They were like, they'd go in, and then they would just kind of go up and down. There was no consistency. Every time, there were just like these rapid changes. Either the wind stopped or whatever. But the birds that had the wind, they just flew consistent, right? I think the path of a Christian is both of those. Because we're swimming upstream in our culture. And so it's very difficult to continue. There's times when you're up and down. And you've done nothing different. But then there's other times when you can just kind of skate through, you know? You have this grace behind you. Imagine these men in their boat, and Jesus comes to them. And he says, "Do not be afraid." Maybe the greatest reality that causes people fear or anger at God is when people that we love are dying and they're afraid. You know, I've been at many deathbeds, and if the person has peace, it actually heals the people around them. But if they don't, there's anger. And so Jesus comes to them and tells them, "Do not be afraid." In life, some of you may have been up and down, and you're trying really to be consistent, but there's things that are against you, family, friends, memories, and you're up, down. Just keep going. Just keep going. All right? You won't crash. But you have to keep working hard against the current. And then God will bring that gust of wind behind you to help you kind of along the way. So the first thing I just want you to pray about is there are going to be times when you're on the boat, in the boat, and the wind is against you. I want you to keep rowing. Keep doing the things you know you need to do. Don't stop. The moment that you stop is the moment that you crash. There must be this call of conversion in your heart. Number two, Christ comes to us in the midst of the storm. He will come to you in the storm. But you know, sometimes it doesn't come to you in the way you want. Sometimes it's going to appear like a ghost. What I mean is, it's going to be very, very scary. And yet, you know you don't need to be afraid. It's almost like, why am I afraid? I love this guy on the shore. Now I'm completely scared, half crazy, because I don't recognize him. Okay? God will come to you in the storm. He will come. But he's going to come in his form, not in the way that you expect. He's not going to come as a little teddy bear. He had to walk on the water to get to you. And so it is Christ, but it does not look like Christ. And so when you're up and down or when you're struggling and you hear in your heart, go to confession, that's when Christ is no longer a ghost, but it's somebody you know. Or go to adoration or go visit the Blessed Sacrament. God has given within you the grace to know how to handle the struggle. He's given you the grace. And so you will eventually get in the current. But the life of a Christian in our culture is up and down. It's against the wind. That's what you expect. And anybody that doesn't expect that is reading a different gospel than I'm reading. That's not what it said. It's not like Jesus went into every town and was like, hey, it's great to have you. And we did all these miracles, and they're like, get out of here. You ruined our bingo. Get out. So the question is, how are you going to persevere? That's really the question. The reason why the church has the sacraments is so that when you're up and down and struggling like this, and you're still flapping, you can continue to persevere. Because all the other, everything else around your life is variable except the sacraments. Do you understand that? Everything else in your life will change except the sacraments. It's very important you get that. Your health will change. Your spouse will change. Your kids will change. Your priest will change. But the sacraments will not change. That's the purpose. Our sacramental system does not live on the music or the preaching. It definitely helps and elevates us. But it is not fundamentally rooted in that kind of variable. That's a terrible dependency. So God has instituted the priesthood so that we are not vulnerable to the temptations of the up and down against the wind. What a grace that is. Certainly, there are priests that speak to us, and there are certainly those that really speak to our hearts and help us grow. And there are others that don't do as much, be that as it may. But it's very important that you understand that Christ does come to you. You know where to find him. He will get in your life. He will get in the boat of your life and be with you when you are struggling. But guess what? You have to struggle. You have to struggle. Otherwise, what's the point? You're not trying. We have this men's group at our parish, and one of the guys, I call him the resident pagan, right? He's a great guy. He's growing, really, but he's my resident pagan, you know. And I always call him, I was like, what's the pagan think, you know? And he's like, I blew it this week. Like, he just makes public confessions in men's group every time. It doesn't matter. It could be about a horse, you know? And he's like, I didn't feed the horse, you know? Like, he's just so humble. But, you know, you always see that he's trying to live a holy life, right? He's trying. And he's like, gosh, Father, I'm trying. And it's just so free, you know? Like, he just kind of liberates the other guys because he's just so free with that statement, you know? And I call him the resident pagan just because he's so joyful about the fact that his sins are being converted into grace, you know? He just laughs about it. He's like, yeah, I'm trying. He's very free with his love, you know? You know, when we are in the midst of the trials, I tell the guys, God is there. God is there. We don't check God at the hospital door. We don't check him in the ICU or at the tube for MRIs or whatever. It doesn't happen that way. So I want you to realize that God can handle the struggle. It's just a question of whether you have the eyes of faith to see him. What your doubts tell you and what the lies in your head tell you is, no, you can't. But God says, I'll come to you, the gospel, and I'll get in the boat and calm the storm. Let me be honest. Just because he gets in the boat doesn't mean he calms the storm in the other people's lives in your life. But he'll calm the storm enough in your life so that you can see the movement and presence of God in that moment. It's very important you understand that. Too many folks are running around like, where's God, where's God? And if they just simmer down, they would see God's presence with them. But they're so busy running around saying, I can't find him. And they're still trying to take over the control, right? Just cool it and let God speak to you and bring peace. And then he will bring calm in your life. And then you will invite Christ into the other people's lives. Do you understand that? Can't run around crazy, right? And I see it a lot, you know. I see folks, they get a bad test result. Okay, they come, Father, you know, keep me in your prayers. I said, well, why don't you come to the Mass with healing prayers? Why don't you come to adoration? Blah, blah, blah. Well, I can't. I don't have time. I got to go to the doctor in Switzerland, and I got to fly over here. I'm like, well, where's prayer in the whole thing? I'm not just talking about the proverbial offered up the Hail Mary kind of thing. I'm talking about really beseeching God and his divine mercy. Because he'll convert all of that into grace. That's what you have to help people do, because they're rowing. And God is walking to them, but they're rowing away from him. And they're not rowing towards him. And you see it in your friends and family. And so Christ says, take heart, do not be afraid. The fruit of this retreat is to help you overcome your fear and to be in communion with God through your sinfulness, not in spite of your sinfulness. Because if you made a great confession, you leave a different gal. If you didn't make a confession or you don't want to, maybe you don't need to, but if you didn't and God is really tugging at your heart, you know you're telling God, I don't want to be in communion with you. Because he's speaking. I told you that. He's speaking to you. That's important to understand. I don't know what he's telling you, folks, but he's speaking. So you cannot be in denial, because those that respond, there's healing. So Lord, we're going to trust you. We're swimming sometimes against the current. And we ask you to heal us. Give us grace.